Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
We're so thankful because the fact of the matter is I get to spend time with Pastor Chad when he comes in. And the fact of the matter is the person you see on the stage is the person he is. This man has a deep walk with the Lord. This man loves people. This man loves you. Honestly, he loves the people of James River at every single campus, and I can't wait for him to share the word he has today because God is gonna use it powerfully in your life. So come on, would you give Pastor Chad Veach a James River welcome, everybody? Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. He's in the house, everybody. Oh, come on, everybody, let's clap and thank Jesus together this morning. Come on. Come on, why don't we give our King a praise real fast? Come on the first service, let's thank God for who he is. Amen and amen. Stay standing, just for a moment, stay standing. It's good to be back at James River. And I just wanna say to all the campuses and to everybody in the church, I love Missouri. And we've been coming, I think this is my third or fourth summer doing Sizzlin' Summer. And you ask my boys their favorite place to go in the world, their favorite place on earth, it is not Disneyland. Their favorite place to go in the world is Missouri, Branson in particular. And so I just wanna let you know, thank you for whoever runs the Silver Dollar, thank Jesus for that place. Whoever invented that, because the next couple days, if you're hanging out in Branson, you're going to see me in a tank top and my boys getting into the wave pool and all of it. But we just ought to just take a moment and thank God for your pastors. And I'm just really grateful for everybody in the church that continues to say yes to Jesus. But come on, let's clap and thank God for all the staff and the pastors. Come on, thank the volunteers today. Come on, let's honor Pastor John and Debbie and Savannah and Brandon and David. And give somebody a high five as you're taking a seat today. Give somebody a high five. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to jump in. It is an honor to be here today. And I am so excited. All my kids will be here at the next service. Like Pastor David said, I got my son Winston with me in this service. I am a married man. Any married folks in the house today? Married people, come on. Thank God. Stronger marriages in Jesus' name. By the way, I cannot wait for the Stronger Men's Conference. Get registered. I know you guys have a red and yellow hat out there. I am a Seahawk fan. I'm from Seattle. Okay, that's about enough of that. Because we need all the prayer we can get, okay? I'm sick of you guys' winning. I'm sick of it. We haven't won in years. I can't wait to be back at Stronger Men. All the guys, all the dudes get registered. It's going to be an awesome time. Amen? I want to talk together this morning about the love of the Father. And I love our Father in heaven so much. And my issue with today's church, with a lot of people in church, is everybody loves Jesus. Everybody loves Jesus. How can you not love the man that died on the cross for the sins of the world? How can we not love the one that was dead but rose again? Anybody love Jesus today? Come on, clap a little bit louder if you love Jesus. Everybody loves Jesus. How can we not love Jesus? In Jesus, we find redemption. In Jesus, we find forgiveness. In Jesus, we find freedom. In Jesus, we find healing. Everybody loves Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Everybody loves the Holy Spirit. Everybody loves the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Jesus, the one that comforts and convicts and reminds and teaches and leads. The only problem I have with people loving the Holy Spirit these days is they want to summarize, they want to reduce the Holy Spirit to goosebumps or chicken skin. in LA. You should see people in LA. These kale salad loving LA people. These smoothie drinkers. In LA, they summarize the Holy Spirit. Oh my gosh, I just got chicken skin. Oh my gosh. It's like, okay, Sally, he's more than chicken skin. Anybody love the Holy Spirit today? Everybody loves Jesus. Everybody loves the Holy Spirit, but not everybody loves the Father. And I think the reason why people struggle with the image or the idea of the Father is because we have mistakenly put the picture of our earthly Father over the image of our heavenly Father. And I just want to say, no matter how good or bad your earthly Father is or was, he pales in comparison to your perfect Father in heaven. And I want to just, by the power of God's word, erase that image of your earthly father and get a good picture. Because I just want to tell you, you don't know who you are until you know whose you are. And when you understand that you have a father that loves you, a father that's for you, a father that's with you, oh, your father loves you so much, he gave you the Son. Your father loves you so much, he gave you the Holy Spirit. But make no mistake about it, it's all about the love of the Father. And I love this scripture, 1 John chapter 3. Read this with me on the screen. 1 John chapter 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called. We, some Chief and Seahawk fans, should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Can you believe this? That you and I, some kids like us, that we get to be called the children of God. Let me encourage you today. You are either a son or a daughter of a good father in heaven. I like this man started clapping. Let's join in. Come on, every campus, start clapping. Anybody thankful to be a son of God today? Anybody thankful that you're a daughter of the Most High? I like that. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. He's not holding back his love. He's not wondering if you're worthy of his love. No, it's not by worth, it's by birth. You have been born into the family of God. God lavished, I like the word lavish. It to me, it's like over the top. I'm an ice cream fan. Any ice cream lovers in the house? Oh, you know what we don't have in LA? Andy's. You know where I'm going after church? Andy's. Just a little Branson prep. You ever get somebody to serve you some ice cream and they kind of are stingy with the scoop? And you kind of look at your bowl like, hey, can I get just a little bit more? I like being around people where they put so much ice cream in the bowl, you're like, oh, stop. No, not today. Behold, what manner of love is this, that our Father has lavished his love on us. And one of the ways that we can tell that God loves you, one of the ways that we can tell that the Father in heaven is obsessed with you, is not just that he blesses you. See, I think a lot of people from the Father, we only want presence and presence. We want presents from God, blessings, houses, cars, money, fame. We want presents, and we want presence. We want the presence of the Father. I want you to bless me, and I just want you to be with me. I want you to bless my life. I want you to be with my life. But the Father in heaven loves you so much, he will not just give you presents and presents. The Father loves you so much that I love he will discipline you. In fact, I want to preach a message today. Write down the title. It's called Proof of His Love. This is proof of the Father's love. How do I know the Father loves me? How do I really tell that the Father in heaven is for me? It's not just presence and presence. It's that the Bible says he disciplines the one that he loves. I don't know about you. I grew up in a home with spankings. I grew up in a Christian home with spankings. In fact, I grew up with a father, my earthly father. He was passionate about spankings. My dad was so passionate about spankings. When I was a kid, he went into the woodshed at our house and you know how JC was a carpenter? My dad was a carpenter. My dad went out into the woodshed. He made his own personalized pancake, spanking paddle. My dad went and he painted it bright cherry red, and he put six letters on this paddle. Before I knew the alphabet, I knew these six letters. B-I-G-R-E-D, big red. And my dad would be sitting in his Lazy Boy recliner, and he would have the paddle up against his chair. He'd be sitting there watching football on TV. We'd be running through the house like just crazy kids, and my dad would lift up the paddle like this, and we'd stop. Because I didn't want no big red in my life. The worst part about my dad spanking me is he would spank me and then lie to my face. He would spank me and then he'd look at me and go, son, this hurts me more than it hurts you. Oh, you a liar. You a liar. You a liar right now, because I know what this feels like. I just love this about the Father, is that he disciplines the ones that he hates. No, he disciplines the ones that he loves. Hebrews 12, go to verse 5. And have you forgotten this? The encouraging words God spoke to you as his children. He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. And don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? I never heard of a child that wasn't disciplined till I started flying on American Airlines. Hello, Jesus. If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and you are not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years with big red, doing the very best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It is painful, but afterward there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Oh, I like that. No discipline is fun in the moment, but afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest in those that are trained in it. Look at the Greek word for discipline. It says this in the Bible. To discipline is used in the context of a parent guiding, training, correcting a child, or the instruction of a student. See, your father is so good, he will look you in the eyes like he did with the rich young ruler, and he will guide you, and he will mold you, and he will train you, and he will correct you. God is more committed to your life than you are. God is more committed to your future than you are. God has a plan for your life, and he is molding you, and he is shaping you, and he is changing you. The Bible says you are being changed from glory to glory into the image of his son. God is committed. I want to just encourage you. God loves you just the way you are today. He just loves you way too much to leave you that way. He who started a good work will be faithful to complete it. Is there anybody thankful today that we've got Jesus? We've got the Holy Spirit. Oh, but come on, give our Father a praise. He disciplines. I like that. He's molding you. He's shaping you. He's changing you. And by the way, there's a father that I love. He's raised up a bunch of studs. He's raised up a bunch of guys. These are they're athletes. They can sing. They love Jesus. They're in church. These boys are studs. I asked this father, I said, how in the world did you raise up such studs? He said, you know, I think one of the reasons why my boys turned out the way they did, I never disciplined them or yelled at them from the other room. When I talked to them, I brought them to my face, I looked them in the eyes, and I spoke to them. So your Father loves you so much is that he'll look you in your eyes and he'll mold you and shape you and discipline you because he's committed to you. What kind of a father doesn't discipline their children? They will turn out, if you are not disciplined, you will turn out to be a Cowboy fan. And I rebuke that spirit. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. That foul, wicked, evil spirit, let it be gone in Jesus' name. Freedom in the house. Felt somebody get loose right there. I'm gonna give you four things to write down today. Write down number one. If he doesn't discipline you, does he even love you? I just love these scriptures. Proverbs 3:22, for the Lord corrects those he loves. Just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them, is careful. See, when God disciplines you, he's not trying to blow off steam. When God disciplines you, he's not trying to just let out all of his anger management. When God disciplines you, it's not about him, it's more about you. He's careful with your life. He's delicate. He doesn't want to break your spirit. He wants to build your life. And so if he doesn't discipline you, my question would be, does he even really love you? My son, he'll be at the next service, my 8-year-old Maverick. And I didn't know what I was getting myself into when I named my son Maverick. My bad. And so he's a wild child. But my Mavi boy, a couple years ago, we got this new blacktop skillet. And, you know, because we want to make some good pancakes and a good smash burger. And so we bought this new skillet, and we were getting ready to do some burgers one night. And we told our son when it was hot, we said, son, do not touch the top of this thing. It will burn your finger. You will be in a lot of pain. So I went inside to get all the burgers and the fixings and everything, all the seasoning and everything, get it all ready. And when I went inside, about a minute later, my 8-year-old walks in and he's crying. Sorry, he was younger, just a couple years ago. He walks in and he's crying and his finger is just blistering up. And I looked at him, I said, son, did you touch it? And he goes, no. I said, you didn't? What happened? He goes, a dog bit me. I said, hold on, because it's a blister. I said, hold on. You're telling me that a dog bit your finger? He goes, yeah. I said, so just so I'm clear, a dog jumped over our 8-foot fence and bit your finger. He goes, yeah. I said, son, go to your room, and you're going to think about, because right now I feel like you're telling me a lie. So he goes into his room. His mother walks in. She looks him in the eye. She says, son, we do not lie in this home. Lying is the worst thing you could do. And if you told me a lie, you would break your mother's heart into a million pieces. She says it, and she starts to walk out of the room. She gets into the hallway, and she hears from his room, ah! I broke your heart into a million pieces. See, one of the things I love about God is that you could get wayward with your attitude and you could start talking a certain way and start thinking a certain way and start acting a certain way, and your Father in heaven will say, we're not going to talk like that. We're not going to act like that. We're not going to think like that. We're not going to treat people like that. You've been called to a higher standard. We're going to walk in love. We're going to walk in faith. We're going to walk in purity. We're going to walk in unity. We're going to, come on, clap a little bit louder if you're thankful. If he doesn't discipline you, my question would be, does he even love you? In fact, write down number two. If you're never corrected, how will you learn? How do you learn not to touch the top of the stove if you're never corrected? By the way, I don't know anybody in church that just wakes up in the morning and is like, yeah, you know what I love? It's just like, I don't know, I'm wired this way. I love being corrected. It's my jam. Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, I'm a correction guy. Yeah, I'm just big on it. I like being corrected from my wife. I like being corrected from my pastor. I like being corrected from my boss. Ooh, when my boss corrects me, it's my favorite. Nobody likes being corrected. But if God doesn't correct you, does he even love you? Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Parents, let me encourage you. You're in leadership development right now. You're training these children. We're training them in truth. We're training them in righteousness. We're training them in faith. We're not babysitting. We're developing so we can send our children out into the earth to be the salt and the light of the world. Can I just take a moment and thank the kids ministry of this church? Can we clap and honor the great, come on, every volunteer. Come on, every kids worker today. Thank God. Thank God they're not babysitting our kids showing a movie today. Thank God they're teaching them the word of God. And we got to correct our children. But make no mistake about it. In the same way you correct your kids when they touch something they shouldn't touch, your father will correct you and say, we don't know. Not in my kingdom. You're one of my kids. And when you're my kids, you represent my name. And when you represent my name, we walk in love. We walk in faith. We walk in hope. We walk in generosity. We walk in truth. Oh, I feel like clapping right there and just thanking God. Thank you for correcting me. Anybody, everyone. Once in a while, anybody needs some good correction from the Lord? There's a story about this man in the Bible. His name is Eli. He was one of those fathers that couldn't correct his kids. So his kids, they started going wayward. They started just being against God and against the things of God. And Eli couldn't bring himself to correct his own children. Watch how the Bible describes his kids. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 12. Eli's sons were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord. Look at verse 17. The sin of the young men, Eli's sons, was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. You know what Eli didn't do? Eli never taught his kids to take the things of God seriously. Remember, in life, don't take yourself seriously, but we do take the things of God seriously. Don't take yourself seriously. Ain't nothing worse. You ever have a friend that takes themselves too serious? And it's so funny. My dad used to tell me growing up, Chad, everybody's laughing at you. You might as well join in. Thanks, Dad. Big Red around, you want to bring him out too? She's such a good father. But Eli's sons became scoundrels because no one corrected them and guided them and trained them to say, hey, the Lord's offering, we don't treat that with contempt. Hey, God's word, we don't treat that flippantly. Hey, the house of God, we're planted in the house of God. Hey, our brothers and sisters, we're not gossips. We build bridges and we are people of unity. We're peacemakers. Eli's sons were scoundrels. May that never be said of our sons and daughters in this church. May it be said true that we trained them up in the way they should go, that we sent them out as arrows into the earth to be the light and the salt of Jesus. Come on, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. To be representatives as God's kids, that we are the children of God. Come on, give them a bigger praise if you're believing that. Come on, we got to raise them up, train them up, develop them up. There's another father in the Bible named David. If you don't know much about David, David was a man after God's own heart. When David was young in the youth group, he was killing it. He was a man of war. He was a man that could play the harp. David was the man, but we see David's life as he gets older. Even though he kills it in business, it doesn't mean he kills it as a parent. So he's good in one area. It doesn't mean he's good in another area. David, when he gets older, we see he's not a good father. In fact, it is in the scriptures. One of his sons, Amnon, this is so diabolical, it's so evil. One of his sons, Amnon, goes so far as to rape his sister. Now you would think David, a man after God's own heart, when he hears that one of his sons has violated his daughter, would absolutely destroy and engage his son. You would think, logically speaking, that if somebody were to violate his daughter, David would be enraged. He would be just out of his mind and he would engage his son. Watch what it says about David, 2 Samuel chapter 13, when King David heard of all these things, he became very angry, but he would not punish his son Amnon because he loved him, for he was his firstborn. When I read that, because he loved him, I thought to myself, you don't love that boy. You love yourself. And you're too afraid of your son being mad at you to engage him, correct him, guide him, train him. If you loved him, you discipline him. But you don't love him, you love yourself. Are you thankful today that our good Father in heaven loves you more than he loves himself? And he will correct you when you need correction. Write down number three. If it's easy to commit, make it easy to submit. If it's easy to commit to God, when I say we take it a step further and we submit to God. A lot of people, it's like, it's so easy, man. You come to James River, we got hats that have, you know, the Chiefs colors, the red and the yellow. By the way, I'm so sick of you guys winning. Can you knock it off? Oh, we're about sick of it, okay? We've had enough of this winning. Share a little with the, not the Cowboys, the Seahawks. Anyways, you come to James River, we got the merch and the worship. How good was the worship today? Can we clap and thank the worship teams at every camp? How good are they? By the way, when I get to heaven, I'm gonna ask God for a new voice. Because the Bible says we're gonna get a glorious body. I'm believing for calves this time. In life, there are the calves and the calves knots. I'm clearly in the calf knots. But I'm getting a glorious body, I'm getting a singing voice. I'm gonna be on the James River worship team in heaven. But you come to James River on a Sunday, everybody's singing, everybody's working. James River got the nicest people in the whole world. You walk through the front door, everybody's like, this is the nicest people. When we get here, it's easy in this setting to commit to God. But your commitment is only proven in submission. It's not that I'm committed to the Father. It's that I'm also submitted to the Father. It's that I start praying prayers like Jesus. Jesus is the perfect example of what it means to be a son of the Father. He says, I don't say things unless the Father tells me to. I don't do things unless the Father tells me to. In fact, it's not what I want, but it's what you want. Not my will be done, but your will be done. Jesus said, when you pray, you ought to pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it where? Is in heaven. Give us our bread, our daily bread. Forgive me of my sins as I forgive those that have sinned against me. And lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Come on, everybody clap and thank God. This is how we ought to pray. I'm submitted to the Father. I'm submitted to you. It's not about my name, it's about your name. It's not about my dream or my agenda, it's about your dream and your agenda. I'm not building my kingdom, I am submitted to building your kingdom. See, I say if it's easy to commit, why don't you make it easy to submit? You ever see a guy on his wedding day? A guy on his wedding day can't stop smiling. He's just spent about 3-4 hours before the ceremony smiling. Then he gets into the service. He doesn't hear a word the preacher says. He just looks at her. He can't believe this is happening. He's like, if she only knew. He's so happy. Watch, I guarantee Michael's in Joplin right now. He's smiling right now. Miracles work. Greater things are coming. There was a ram in the thicket. Then they have the reception. They go out, they do the Macarena and the YMCA, and they do the dancing, and they have so much fun. They go on the honeymoon. They come back, everything's so, they're committed to it. They're so excited. Then about 3 months into marriage, one morning she comes in out of leaving the bathroom. She's sick of picking up his stuff on the bathroom floor. She comes out. She starts telling him, you got to start picking up your stuff, buddy. Stop leaving it on the floor. He's like, whoa. Whoa. I don't really like the way you're talking to me. I don't really like your tone of voice.
you need to calm down. It's kind of a lot. See, what I find is so funny about us followers of God is that we commit so fast, but the moment God starts asking us to do things we don't want to do, it's like, you must have got it twisted. I just signed up for presence and presence. I just can't, because I want to get a little blessing, and I just want to know you're with me, even though I'm not in your will. See, I think if it's easy to commit, why don't you make it easy to submit? Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is sweating blood, and he is saying, I do not want to do this. I do not want to do this, but I am submitted to what you want. And I submit to you. You are my Father. And in your house, it's about your rules. And whatever you're about, I want to tell you, Father, I'm about it. And I'm going to die to my own agenda. Most people get disappointed because they commit so quickly. And they're like, I'm in. And the moment God starts talking and correcting and disciplining, they're like, I'm out. Didn't sign up for that. See, if it's easy to commit to our Father, make it easy to submit to our Father. Watch this working definition of submission. This is beautiful. To submit is to voluntarily take a position where you put your trust in someone else and you heed their leadership. See, your Father is so good and so committed to you. He gave you his Son. He gave you the Spirit. He wants to supply you with everything that you need. Trust in his good leadership. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Father with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge your Father, and he will direct your path, and he will establish your thoughts. Amen to that. Here's the last thing, number four, worship team, you can come join me. Write this down. If it's painful, it's gonna be fruitful. If it's painful right now, oh, come on, just trust me, it's gonna be fruitful. I know it might be hard for a moment. God's disciplining you. He's correcting you. He's training you. He's mold. No discipline is enjoyable in the moment. No pain is fun in the moment. But I'm telling you, give it 6 months, there's going to be fruit. Give it 6 months. You got to break that addiction. You got to delete that contact. You got to get rid of that stinking thinking. You got to stop talking and acting like that. You got to stop treating your spouse like that or your kids like that. Come on, clap together today. I know it's painful. I know it's painful, but it's going to be fruitful. I know that my Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. I know it's painful. I know it's painful. I know it's hard. I know it feels like, oh, I'm losing my friends. I'm losing my stride, my confidence. I'm losing. No, you're not losing. You're gaining. In fact, if you want to gain your life, you're going to lose your life. I know it's painful. I know it's hard. I know it's not easy. It's no pain. No discipline is enjoyable in the moment. It's painful, but there's a harvest on the other side. By the way, Jesus says in John 15, anybody that's in me that's fruitful, I prune. You ever go by a place that gets pruned and you're like, you guys destroyed it? Well, you messed that up, didn't you? No, maybe God's pruning you so you can bear more fruit down the road. I know it's painful. I know it's hard. But if it's painful, it's going to be fruitful. And I don't know about you. I'm looking for fruit in my life. How about you? So discipline me, God, because I want fruit in my life. I know it's hard. I know it's painful. A number of years ago, about maybe 10 years ago, I was going up for a white man's dunk. I don't know if you know what a white man's dunk is. I'm 6'3", I can't dunk. It's a whole situation. It's his fault, not mine. Anyways, so I can't dunk. So I was going up for white man's dunk is you go up for a layup and you slap the glass because that's our signal. Would have been a dunk. And so I went up for a white man's dunk and I slapped the glass. But when I landed on somebody's foot and I tore every ligament in my left foot. And when it happened, it was so much pain, I thought I was going to heaven. I was like, take me now, Jesus. It's over.
And I was crying. I went to the hospital. I was in so much pain. It was black and blue. I had to walk on crutches for a few days, weeks. And it was so painful. And then after, finally, when I was able to move it a little bit, they sent me to this evil place called physical therapy. Where some not spirit-filled person led me through exercises. And I'm telling you, this lady was asking me to do things and I'm like, no. And I was in so much pain, but I kept going back week after week, gaining strength in my foot, getting health back in my foot. It was painful, but I'm telling you now when I run, I don't ever think about my foot. I'm telling you, if it's painful now, it's going to be fruitful in the future. Go through the discipline. Go through the training. Go through the correction. Go through the season, because clap and thank God together. I know on the other side, I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better father. I'm going to be a better friend. I'm going to be a better brother. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be who God has called me to be. Clap a little bit louder and thank our God. Thank you, God, that you don't look away. Thank you, God, you haven't thrown in the towel. Thank you, God, that you haven't turned your back. Thank you that you love me enough, not just to give me some presents and not just to give me some presents, but discipline me, God. Speak to my life, God. I want to know, because I want your will, not mine. You know what I learned? You know what I learned? I stopped hiding from the Father and running from the Father, and I started coming to the Father and saying, I invite it now. When I was young, I'm a pastor's kid, so I know how to hide from God. I knew how to play the church better than anybody. So when the prophets would come, or when some pastor would come, I would hide. I'd be like, you ain't gonna tell me about my stuff. I don't want God to know anything about me. Can I encourage you? The Bible says the eye of the Lord is on the righteous and the unrighteous. God has never looked away from your life. He already knows. He already sees. And he's never looked away. Because the Bible says he set his face aflint. So you know what I did? I stopped running and hiding and fearing what the Father was gonna say. I grew up so afraid of the Father in heaven. I think you're mad and disappointed and you're frustrated with me, and I know I'm not living up to my expectation. The most important thought you will ever have in the history of your life is the first thought that comes to your mind when you think about the Father. Because I saw his lavish love in my life, I stopped hiding from the Father and I started running to the Father. You ever been through TSA? You go through TSA, put your bags on the belt, and you walk through, you put your hands up, when it finishes, I'm always like, did I pass? Are we good? I started to pray that prayer in Psalm 139. Search me and know me and try me and test me. And Father, if there's anything in here that offends you, point it out. I'm not going to wait till I'm in some broken place for you to correct me. But in real life time, I say, Lord, discipline me more. I invite your guidance. I invite your leadership. I invite your presence. I invite your love. I have a friend in Australia. And his daughters were given an assignment in class to draw a picture of their father. His daughters brought it home, the picture they drew of their father. And his friend was over, my buddy's friend was over at his house when he received these two drawings from his daughters. And both of his daughters drew an image of their father smiling. And his buddy elbowed him and he said, you did it, you won. He goes, what do you mean? He said, when your daughters think of you and they were given the assignment to draw your face, they drew your face smiling, you won. I wonder what picture you would draw of your father. I wonder today, how do you see the Father? Because a lot of you love the Son and you love the Spirit, but you need to fall in love with the Father. Your Father's for you and he's with you. Amen.